back in the 1960s, when the United States decided to go to the moon, NASA was charged with somehow figuring out how to build, first design and then build a spacecraft that would take the men there. Various companies got various contracts, and the Grumman Aerospace Company in Bethpage, Long Island, got the contract to make the lander, the part that would actually make the last part of the journey and land on the moon. And the design was called the Lunar Module, LM for short, and NASA ordered 12 of them, 12 production units. There actually was a 13th that was never finished.
And these are about what, 23, 25 feet high, right? Just to give people sort of a sense of what they look like.
Yeah, they're basically a two-part spaceship. The bottom part has the engine that helps them land, basically backwards, like in the movies, the old days, you know, coming down with the exhaust coming out the bottom and slowly landing. Mm-hmm. And then that bottom part, called the descent stage for good reason, serves sort of as a launching pad for the upper stage, which is called the ascent stage. And the ascent stage is where the astronauts stay. And after they're finished, they climb up the ladder over the top of the descent stage into the ascent stage, and off they go. There's a little rocket in the bottom of the ascent stage. Now, LM1 was flown on a mission called Apollo 5. Mm-hmm. There weren't any men on the mission. It was just launched into Earth orbit to test the systems, the attitude control systems, which could be operated remotely. LM2 was basically designed and intended for a secondary test in Earth orbit that would carry men to test its operation. But they were in quite a hurry, and their schedule problems and various other things, they had to scale back on their ambitious testing program, and they decided to do without that second test. And that's why we have a complete production flight-qualified spacecraft available to the Smithsonian, because, as you can imagine, once they're in orbit, they don't have heat shields. They don't come back. All of the ones that were landed on the moon, Apollo 11, Apollo 12, 13 didn't make it. You've probably seen the movie.
Yes.
14,
yes.
15, 16, and 17. All of those, of course, are the bottom stages. The descent stages are still sitting on the moon. The ascent stages, once they did their job of getting the two astronauts back to join their colleague on the command module, were jettisoned and actually crashed into the moon in order to trigger moonquakes that could be measured by scientific instruments they left behind.
Wow, it never occurred to me that those modules are still there.
Bottom parts, yeah, they are. The top parts got pretty mangled on the crashes, but the bottom parts are still there. In fact, there's a Tranquility Base here is kind of what I would consider a historic site, and we have to be careful that if they ever do go back, that they respect the integrity of that site. I hate to see them step over the footprints of Neil Armstrong.
Seems like there'd be some sort of plaque, or there'd be some sort of velvet rope around it or something.
Well, there is a plaque. I mean, there is a plaque on the leg of the lunar lander which says we came in peace for all mankind with the date. But the next mission shop probably should bring up a velvet rope. I think you're right.
And a
do not touch the artifact sign.
Yeah.
And you have been working to sort of clean up. What's the proper word? Tell
us. Well, what we've done is, because LM2 was never really intended to land on the moon, it didn't have all of the thermal protection and various other blankets and coverings, mainly foil, shiny stuff, except the LM5. Now, LM5 was the one called Eagle that brought Armstrong and Aldrin to the surface of the moon. And what we've decided to do is to dress up without doing anything that would actually disturb or change the actual artifact, to dress up using original materials and using the same techniques that the engineers at Grumman did to complete LM5 Eagle, and to do the same with our landing descent stage.
When you talk about the refurbishing and the dressing it up, you make it sound so easy, but I have to think that there's a lot of little details that you are not going to let go unnoticed, and it's got to be a little bit tedious. You're spending
a
lot of time.
Well, that's what I said. We had thought we could be done by Wednesday night, starting first thing. Actually, we started a couple of hours on Sunday afternoon, and then now it's Friday, and we're still filling in little details. Yeah, there are a million details.
When you were jumping back to the foil stuff, it's the first time you've been able to see some of this stuff underneath there because it's been covered before.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there are a couple of things that we found that we didn't know in there besides a bottle of sherry that was left inside.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was empty.
Oh, no.
Of course it was.
People were following the velvet.
There must have been a party at Grumman. I don't know about sherry, though, but... at one point. And then we also found that there were things that we had no reason to expect would be on Lunar Module 2, again, because it wasn't going to land on the moon. On the landing stage, there is a little pocket, a little space that can be pulled open in one of these dish antennas, like a satellite dish, but it's 8 feet in diameter, and it's made out of, it's sort of collapsible, and it's made out of gold mesh. It's called the S-band antenna. In case there were communication problems or in case they couldn't transmit enough data back to Earth with the antenna that are attached to the lunar module, there is this sort of auxiliary antenna. And sure enough, when we took the foil off, there it was. It hasn't been looked at in 40 years. I haven't actually deployed it yet. We will do that in the conservation laboratory to see what condition it is. But that was an interesting find.